I'm going to start off today by doing a poll. Now, this is not to embarrass you and to suggest that young people today are not as well educated as an older generation. Okay? It's not for that reason. It's to demonstrate to you a generational gap of knowledge. In other words, I could ask a question that all the teenagers in the room would know the answer to, and none of the others would know the answer to. Or I could do it the other way around, but I'm going to do it the other way around. So if you are in a uniform this morning, can you please stand up? No pressure, no shame or anything here. Okay. So I'm looking at how many of you there are. We're just doing a maths thing here. I'm a maths teacher in another life, so you can see that I'm still a teacher in this life too. Yep, just getting a number there roughly. Okay. Yep, okay. So could you remain standing, girls, if you know what polio is? Polio. Okay, just remain standing if you know what polio is. Okay, that's fine. I asked this question about 8 o'clock congregation today, and they reckoned only 5%, maybe 10% of you would know that. And I'm happy to report that there's a much higher percentage than that. Well done. We won't actually ask you what it is, because now you've got to sit down. Okay? Because now I want to show you the generational gap thing. It was about 20% or thereabouts, wasn't it? Other maths teacher? Yeah, other maths teacher in the room. Two or three maths teachers, okay. About 20% or so, 20-25%. It was good. Impressive. Okay, so now Brooklyn's Church. So not. I'm sorry if parents or teachers feel a bit left out here. Sorry. Obviously, you would have known the answer, of course. But can we have Brooklyn's Church people standing up, please? Okay, Brooklyn's Church people. Okay, now just to you, if you just look around, teenagers, you look at this group. Would you agree that mostly they're older people? Mostly. I mean, watch this, watch this, watch this. This is really mean of me to do this, okay? Watch this effect. Brookings Church people, sit down if you're under 50. You see what I mean? Okay, stand up again. Yeah, okay, so I just, just so you know what we're dealing with here, okay? So, Brookings Church people, remain standing if you know what polio is. Remain standing, Brooklyn's Church people, remain standing if you know what polio is. Remain standing if you know what polio is. Okay, so I think maybe two or three sat down. I think about 90% of them know that. Okay, you can all sit down now. Are you okay? So the reason I asked that question is because if you're someone who's 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years old, and I was really nice there, I didn't get them to stand down one decade at a time. Because we have people here in their 90s, and isn't that brilliant? That they would know what that word means. Okay? So should we go back to one of the girls and actually ask them what it is? One of the girls who was actually Jerrain saying, can they just give us what polio is? Roughly what it is. Just, no, student? Sorry, this is like you're back at school, sorry. What is it? What sort of thing is it? Yeah. It's a disease, right. Okay. Okay, and the reason a lot of you don't know what it is, and all those older people know what it is to do with our topic today. It's a disease that up until the 1950s, 1955, was a very common disease. It causes paralysis. Right? Later on, there's sort of a post-polio thing, and very contagious. And in 1955, they developed a vaccine. So up till then, so go back to those Brookings Church people. Put your hand up, please, Brookings Church people, or notice anybody. If you actually know someone or knew someone who suffered from polio, There you go, you see, hands down. Okay, yeah, do you see what I mean? And it's sort of like hardly exists now, right? And the reason it hardly exists is because of this vaccine. Now, sorry, this is not the morning for anti-vaxxers to come, sorry. But probably a bad day for you to come if you are. But the point is that a vaccine was developed. Now, let's think about what a vaccine is. And you'll see very soon why I've chosen this topic. A vaccine is the most counterintuitive thing you could do in medicine. A vaccine is to give someone the disease. That's what a vaccine is. You give someone the disease. So you give them polio and say, tough it up. But of course, you give them a small amount. That's the key, isn't it? A small amount that you can take into your body, and it's a small enough amount that your body can process that, fight that, your immune system toughens up, and it deals with it. So you have polio, if you've had the polio vaccine, you actually have polio in your body. Happy days. But it doesn't affect you at all. Isn't that amazing? And that's how all vaccines work, right? Are we all on the same page here? Good, we know what a vaccine is. So for this reason, a disease that was, you saw how prevalent it was. Almost all these people knew someone who'd suffered from polio. Even famous people have suffered from polio. Anybody know any famous people suffer from polio? Yeah, they thought he did. Franklin Roosevelt, yeah. He was in a wheelchair a lot. The modern idea is that it may have been a similar condition. But yes, certainly in his day it was believed that he suffered from polio. But if you look it up in the amazing Wikipedia, it's, they think maybe something not quite. But yes, that's a good example. Certainly he was paralyzed in a wheelchair. Any others that come to mind? Pardon? That was something else. What was Jacqueline Dupre? Multiple sclerosis, I think. Yeah, so no. June Opie. Yeah, that was the same one people mentioned at 8 o'clock. June Opie, the writer. Yeah, Mokau Museum, I've been told to go there. Didn't know the name, but there you go. Okay, here's a great one for you. Wilma Rudolph. Do you know who Wilma Rudolph was? Sprinter, thank you. God, this is like a quizzer over here. Sprinter, 1960 Olympics. American woman, black American woman. She won the gold medal in the 100 metres and the 200 and the 4x100 relay. And she actually suffered from polio as a child. I find it interesting that one or two really famous singers suffered from polio. And composers, in other words, they... Because one of the things that happens with polio is you have to have time alone to be, you know, away from, so you don't infect other people. And so you're months, you know, in your little room. And it's a good time to get your own identity, isn't it? You're sort of like, oh, here I am, it's me. So famous singers like Judy Collins, and I say famous for old people, sorry. Like Judy Collins, Donovan, there was another well-known folk one I've just forgotten off the top of my head. Polio sufferers. Anyway, back to the action of why we're talking about this, why I'm talking about this. Here's the thing that is said about church school. So now it gets really personal of our Taranaki Diocesan School for girls. Okay, it's really personal now. There is a saying, and I'm sure your principal will be familiar with this. No doubt some of the rest of you are. And that is that church schools are really good and really bad. And the way they can end up being bad is this. You get like a dose of religion, of Christian faith. You get a bit of Christian faith input. Now, you're not being too personal here because guess what? There's a group of people that meet here every Sunday who do the same thing. Okay? So it's not just Taranaki Dio, it's actually Brooklyn's church people too. So we have an input of religion. Okay? Now, here's the thing. It is said that if you go to a church school, you end up being, and that was the phrase at the start, inoculated by religion. Have you heard that phrase? Anybody heard that phrase? Inoculated, yeah, by one or two, yeah? And it means you've had just enough religion that it's in you, but like the vaccine, it has absolutely no effect on you. Yeah? Because your body learns to fight it and sort of push it away, and your mind. Is that making sense to you? Just enough Christianity, just enough Christian faith, just enough preaching that I can sort of in my mind go, it's over there. So I've got some Christianity in here, and it's not affecting how I, because that's the point about a vaccine. You've got it in you, but you don't have the disease. Now, I'm not trying to say here that Christianity is a disease. Okay? Don't get me wrong on that. But what I mean is this. Here's the question for you. Does your Christian faith, and this is a question for everyone in the room, does your Christian faith actually affect you? Does it change who you are? Like polio would if you had polio. You'd be suffering from polio. If you like, I guess I'm asking, do you suffer from Christianity? In a good way. There, you of course have sometimes met people who are Christians who make you suffer, right? And you've no doubt seen people who confess or profess to be Christians, and you look at them and you think, well, I knew that person before they became a Christian. I can now get into them afterwards, and I actually can't see any difference at all. Have you ever had that experience, that observation with someone? You don't have to put your hand up, okay? But do you see what I mean? If my Christianity doesn't affect who I am, what I do, how I behave, then I've basically inoculated myself with a bit of Christianity, and that's it. Okay, so go back to our readings today, because our readings today describe a picture of Christianity that is so different to that, don't they? The first one said, if any person is in Christ, there's a new creation. That's pretty big language, a new creation. In fact, the original in the language of the New Testament says this, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. The guy writing gets so carried away, he doesn't even put words in between. He just says, if anyone's in Christ, new creation. So they don't know how to translate it. It's a bit of a strange sentence. That's how different and exciting it is. So then, in our other reading we had, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born from above or born again. Again, it's like a radical change, a sort of a, wow, born again, born from above. So Christianity, as it's presented, or the faith in Christ, as it's presented in the New Testament, is presented as a radical change, as an exciting thing, as a life-changing thing. Okay, so let's get back to religion generally. Most of us and most people in the world tend to treat religion more or less like this. My religion, or my faith, tells me how I should live, the right path. It gives me a sense of sort of being, purified and, spiritual. And that's it. What tends to happen is that's our faith. What can easily happen is that's the faith. That's the limit of it. And then we have our lives somewhere over here that we just do whatever we want. So let me give you one word that I think sums up Christianity more than any other word, and it's a word that everybody understands whether they say they have faith or not. So here we go. The word I think is love. Okay? Everyone understands that word, don't they? Love. It's a much bigger, much more emotional word, isn't it, than faith. Love. Everyone understands it, because even if you don't believe in God, you would understand, you'd sort of like believe in love, wouldn't you? Like, people are important and relationships are important. Like, we're talking about love and relationships, okay? Now, that's not just romantic love. That's the love of friendship, the love that a parent might have for a child or a child for their parent, or siblings, or whatever. Sorry. but any sort of friendship or relationship could be summed up with the idea of love. Big word. Not just a word about God. And the first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, so it's like a big word with a big, you know, right in the middle here feeling. So, I want you to help me now because I don't want to leave it at that word. Here's the problem. Words mean little. Talk is cheap. So said my flatmate when my bicycle was dismantled on our porch for 2 years so that we could never use the porch, and I never fixed it. Eventually he left a sign on it saying, talk is cheap. So most of us understand maybe, you know, what the love that we might expect like a husband and wife to show each other. So this is really helpful because there is the person in this congregation who suffers the most, you already understand this, miles ahead of us, would be the person I'm married to, right? This is really simple. So I'm going to ask the person I'm married to come forward, please, so that we make this more practical, you see, because talk is cheap. And Wynn might actually agree with you there, you see. So do you want to come, do you want that to come up so they can actually see, okay? So now I need my paper to write down all your suggestions. I got lots of good ones at 8 o'clock, and I think our marriage is going to be good if I just follow some of this advice, okay? We could write them up on the screen, but that might be asking, but no, I'm getting a no up over there. Okay, so I want you to think about this marriage relationship here. We have an anniversary coming up next month, which we're going to celebrate by going to a clergy, compulsory clergy training day. As you do. Although the guy running that is going to come here the day after and preach, so we'll get one back. So I want you to tell me what you think would be, if you know us and you think, well, I think their marriage is good, you know, what you think has made it good. Or you might give us some help with, like, what would help it, you know, and if you don't know us or you think, you know, so that we keep going here and improve our relationship, okay? So I'm looking for behaviours and attitudes that might help us in our relationship here, past or present or future. And I'm seeing some smiles. There's lots of, okay, where you go? There you go. Just hands up and just blast away. Yes, right. Trust. Okay. Now, trust is a very, you know, nice abstract sort of word. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like general. So I'm thinking, when you say trust, you mean trust? Can we explain that a bit more, what that would look like? What we would do if we trusted each other? Ah, okay. Do you see what I mean? That just explains a little bit rather than general. So open to each other. I can... okay, they said that at 8 o'clock too. I tell you what, there's going to be a checkup on this in a few weeks' time. Okay, yes, sorry. Cherish one another. How would we do that? I'm lost. Sorry, cherish one another. Sorry, excuse me, I'm getting good advice. Yeah. Oh. Okay, whoa, cherish. Put before myself. Okay. This piece of paper might get lost, of course. Okay, right. Sorry.
Harmony.
Harmony. Again, it's an abstract word. How are we going to do the harmony thing?
I know you're both very musical.
Oh, right.
Music is a carrier.
Right. So you think we should sing together a lot?
You do.
Okay, so singing. Harmony, so literal harmony, but you're also talking about general harmony, aren't you? How would that be demonstrated? Or the attitude or the behaviour?
Working together.
Okay. Got along. Okay, yes?
Always say sorry.
Ah.
Always communicate with one
another. Okay, one at a time. Say sorry, communicate. I'm actually writing them down, okay? Say sorry, communicate with each other, okay? Yep. Going well. I think I'm getting it here, Trish. Communicate with each other. Okay. Keep going, David. Yield and submit. Is that both ways? Of course, both ways. Did you know, I just want to tell this to all the women, girls, whatever, in the room especially. There's a verse in the Bible that says, Wives, submit to your husbands. Did you know that? Did you know that? It's a verse that men like to preach on in churches. Do you know what the verse before that is in the Bible? It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the real teaching of the Bible, okay? So I'm agreeing with that in word anyway, but, you know, okay. Yes, John. Okay, that's yield, submit, obedient. This is all going one way here. Okay, keep going, please.
Housework.
Housework. Actually, doing stuff. Housework. Do. You see, Wynne is not a public person like me, so Wynne is not enjoying this at all. But the same things you're saying are really making her enjoy this. Oh, yes, over here, Julian. Respect. How would I show respect? I'm a bit lost here. No, put down. Okay, right. Keep going. This marriage is going to last a long time. That person said, try to be on time. And I've just got a feeling that those of you who are visiting today just gave you some inside information there. Yes. Sorry, way in the back. Yes, sorry, Jan. Long suffering. What would be an example of being long suffering? I mean, like an actual behavior. When would be long suffering? Okay. Long suffering. Okay. Yep. Sorry. Over here. Sorry, Ray. Oh, that's it. Now we're getting there. Spending quality time together. Woohoo! Yeah. Yeah. Bishop's Day. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Yeah. Oh, David again. Yeah. Okay. Keep going. Listen more than you speak. Oh, okay. Well, that's a good one. Listen more than you speak. Laughter. Okay. Ooh, okay. What on? Acceptance. As in accepting what? Like accepting the person? How would I, who they are? How would I show that? What would I be doing if I was accepting them as they are? I just want to follow through on this. Accept them as you are. So I'd be what? Not criticizing them, maybe? Picking on them all. So, okay. Pardon? Pardon? It's going to be a long afternoon today. A bunch. When's the last time you got a bunch of roses?
I can't remember.
That's true. Okay, that's probably enough, isn't it? I believe. Let's sit down. Okay, now, here's my point. Do you see how easy it is actually to know what love is? Yeah? Right? You could all actually, and you could agree with it, you say, yeah, of course that's what love is. And did you notice virtually all those things, when the very little of that was actually to do with romantic love at all, was it? Do you see what I mean? It was actually like the big picture love stuff. Okay, so it applies to friendships. It applies to, you know, the family stuff. It applies to, we know what love is. The beautiful thing about faith in God is that you don't actually have to guess a lot with God. If you believe that we're made in the image of God, the stuff that we just naturally know like that about relationships is how God is. It's just as simple as that. So you actually, yes, it's nice to read your Bible a lot, of course. It's nice to have prayer times. It's nice to go to church services. Yes. But the actual, like, what this Christian life actually is and what faith in God looks like, it's actually in that list you just gave me. So let me read it out to you again. So this is how, not just you could relate to people, but how you could love God or walk with God. And actually what Diana said before is a brilliant way. Whatever you do, just do it with God involved in it. If you're a singer, songwriter, a poet, a craft person or whatever, just do it and sort of like, just go, thank you, God, at the same time and just, you know, enjoy God with it too. Here we go. So, remember, so this is like thinking of God here, not just a person. Trust, being open to each other. So being open with God, just honest. Like, God, I can't see you. I'm getting frustrated. Please help me. That'd be being honest with God, wouldn't it? God, I believe in you, and I thought this was going to happen, and it's not happening. What's going on? It's just being open with God. Cherish, put someone else before yourself. Oh, okay, so cherish God. Put God before myself. Okay. Singing, sing to God. Working together. Ah, okay, so not just working for God, but working together with God. Wow. Like inviting God to be part of my work. Saying sorry. Yeah? Or saying please. Or saying thank you. Yeah? These are words that work really well with God too. Communicate with each other. See, you've done the perfect list here. Can you see? You actually know what loving God actually is. Yielding and submitting, being obedient. Okay? Housework, doing stuff. Right, not just talking about, I love you, God, but okay, so what am I doing for God? Okay? Respect, no put downs. Like, not putting God down either. Oh, that's a good one. That's an interesting one. Try to be on time. I think I'm getting the message. Long-suffering. God's long-suffering. Sometimes we have to be. Okay. Spending quality time. See, you've got it all here, haven't you? You actually understand completely what loving God is. Listen more than you speak. Oh, wow. Isn't that, yeah? A prayer time where you listen more than you speak. Or just a, you know, laughter. Laughter with God. Cool. Accept as you are. God accepts you as you are. Sometimes we need to accept God as God is. Bringing home a bunch of roses. I'll speak to you later. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this love that you put in our hearts. The way that you, when we look at each other and we're in friendships and relationships of love, that we know that that's where it's at, in relationship. So help us to see the same thing with you and to our relationship with you to be one that, like a real marriage relationship, would actually change all our other relationships, that it would be the one at the center of our lives that marks us out as different, but not just marks us out as different, but actually enables us to love other people too and forgive and be honest and be free. In Jesus' name, amen.